Now on KUOW, let's learn more about psychotic disorders in young people. I talked with Dr. Jack McClellan, medical director of the Child Study and Treatment Center in Lakewood, the state's psychiatric hospital for children. And he told me about some of the most common psychotic disorders and their symptoms.
The classic psychotic illness is schizophrenia, and that person or that illness is really defined by problems with having hallucinations, seeing things other people don't see, sometimes or hearing things other people can't hear, as well as having delusions, false beliefs, either paranoid beliefs or beliefs that your mind is magical or playing tricks. Manic depressive illness or bipolar disorder always includes something called a manic episode, where a person has this marked change in their behavior where they stop sleeping at night, have all this energy, often develop these unusual or bizarre beliefs about special powers that they have. And that especially teenagers with mania will often present acutely psychotic. And again, it's often a delusion that they have that either they're a famous person or God sent them on earth to do some special task. And that those symptoms can obviously get them in a lot of trouble.
What causes that?
We don't know the causes for most of it. A lot of the causes appear to be genetic, that there's some sort of change in the way the brain is functioning. It's not something that parents cause by the way that they parent or the stresses in school. Stress can certainly add to it and make the illnesses work, but the underlying causes has something to do more with the person's brain.
What is extra tricky about diagnosing psychosis in a young person?
In general, in psychiatry, and particularly with psychosis, we don't have any blood tests. We don't have any x-ray findings to tell us that someone has an illness. It's all based on an interview. And if you ask children how often a child hears a voice, about 1 in 5 kids will tell you that they hear a voice. And that's really – and for the most part, most of those kids do not have a psychotic illness and will never get a psychotic illness. It's due to their imagination or anxiety or experiences that they've had, but it's not a true psychotic symptom.
What are the challenges in treating psychotic illnesses in children?
Part of the challenge is both true for adults and for children. The medicines are not perfect. They don't cure the disorder. They certainly reduce the symptoms, and they sometimes allow a person to function much more normally than what they otherwise can. But they all have side effects. And that so you're taking a young person and exposing them to what may be a lifelong treatment and starting with side effects very early on in their life. And that's a difficult thing. It's also clearly a problem that not everyone responds to the first or the second medicine that you try. And so you have to sometimes go a long period of time of trying different things before you find something that works.
You are a believer in medication.
For this illness, certainly. That without this illness, people can be severely impaired with lifelong problems.
How often does a psychotic disorder go away by itself as the kid grows?
If you follow kids over time that have these disorders, most continue to have some evidence of the illness over time, although they can do a lot better with treatment. And sometimes it does just seem to go away. You'll follow up in 3 or 4 years and the kid no longer has that illness. And I wish I could tell you we don't really understand why that is, but it does happen in some people.
Where do you think we are in our understanding? Where do you see our progress, our hope in treating kids with these illnesses?
In the past 5 to 10 years, the ability to find genetic mutations has grown enormously in science, and that a lot of these illnesses really do come from genetic mutations. And so the ability to find those and figure out what they do in regards to how the brain works is really important. That none of the treatments that we have right now are based on any known cause. And if you figure out what causes something, you're much more likely to come up with a treatment that's better and works is more specific.
A lot of what we think we know about the mind is from our friends or from media, social media. What's the biggest misconception we have when it comes to young people and psychosis?
Psychosis below the age of 12 is really, really rare. That these illnesses usually start somewhere between the ages of 15 and 30. And it's really a young adulthood kind of illness. And so that it doesn't mean the kid may not have other problems. Kids, for example, with anxiety often report things that sound psychotic. Kids who have been traumatized or who have been abused sometimes report things that sound psychotic. So it doesn't mean that those kids don't need treatment, but calling it psychosis may lead you down the wrong treatment path.
Doctor, you only treat kids, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a child psychiatrist.
What drove you to make this your career?
Partly, I think it is one of the most significant public health problems that we have. These are lifelong illnesses. They impact a person's ability to socially function as well as their ability to go to work or to go to school. And if you can find treatments that work better, if you can find causes, you really can make a significant change in not only those people's lives, but our entire public health system.
University of Washington psychiatry professor Jack McClellan is medical director of the state's Psychiatric Hospital for Children, the Child Study and Treatment Center in Lakewood.